Hey, this is George.
And this is Sarah.
And we are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
So we kind of took over the channel this week. Everybody is used to hearing Sarah and George. Instead, this week, it's all the guys that Sarah and George talk about. I'm, of course, AG, and with me is Chris.
Hey.
And White Nerd.
Hello.
One of the things that we always talk about is non-monogamy, polyamory, open relationship, all those words that I have a general hate of. Well, other than open relationship and non-monogamy. But I think polyamory is stupid. We're going to talk about
so
it.
Did you just list off a whole bunch of stuff and just say, I don't like any of it except for, well, this one.
This one. That's yeah. Exactly what I did.
Okay. I'm feeling personally attacked over here.
Oh, but well, I am attacking
it.
You.
I'll get over it. put some salve on that burn.
So actually, whenever, what terms do you prefer?
If I'm identifying to people who I don't know their depth of knowledge, I just tell them I'm poly. And just roll with that and let them make their own assumptions off of it.
And I have a tendency of doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I don't like the term polyamorous, but it's a term everybody knows. So I use it a lot. I do prefer open relationship. And I also, but if I'm talking to somebody with a little bit more knowledge, I say ethical non-monogamy.
Right. See, for me, I'm a relationship anarchist at heart.
Right.
It's, you know, kind of poly.
I do what I want when I want.
That's how people perceive it.
What about you, White Nerd?
I go with poly just because it's a nice umbrella term that most people know, and I can say that and they have a sense of it, and then if they have more questions, I'll answer.
Right. Now, one of the things I have learned from Sarah is whenever somebody tells me that they're poly, I always ask, well, what does that look like for you? I'm going to ask you guys the same question. What does non-monogamy look like for you?
Non-monogamy or polyamory?
Polyamory, non-monogamy.
Your thing?
Your thing. What is your thing?
You go first. Me?
Yeah.
Okay. For me, it looks like I've got two girlfriends. And that's pretty much it.
That is your polysaturation at this point.
If you have ever met George, she will polysaturate just about anybody very quickly.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. What about you, Chris?
Well, so it has worked out in the past where I've had two girlfriends and an LDR. And that relationship kind of blew up because it wasn't on steady footing to begin with. I didn't realize it at the time. I was on steady footing. But apparently there was some communication issues on the part of the other. I guess if I was to say currently, it's weird because I'm demisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So being RA, while I could, in my relationship model, fuck my friends, it doesn't happen. You know, it has to be the right person. So poly for me is having at least one solid relationship. Two, when I have the emotional availability in the room.
Now you said LDR.
A long distance relationship.
How the hell do you make that work?
It's difficult. She was in Austin and we're not. I went down to see her twice. It's about a 6.5-hour road trip. And I mean, you know, we communicated daily, often, and communicated really well. And that's what you got to do in an LDR, because you don't have that face-to-face contact. You've got to come up with ways to interact. Texting, phone calls, we would watch movies together online. We would game together. So it was just different ways of building a connection.
See, that just blows my mind because I couldn't do that.
I probably won't do it again unless it's somebody super special. It was not easy, it was an experience.
I'll say I've only done in my entire life one LDR relationship, and it started off rocky, kept being rocky and just got rockier as you went along.
Well, that was, I have to say also, that was in my phase where I'd first kind of admitted to myself that I was at heart and ethically non-monogamous. And so I was still in the gotta catch them all phase. So anybody who came along was fair game.
Yeah, that's always a rough phase.
I'd like to say I was young, but it really wasn't that long ago.
For me, I'm the I'm not only non-monogamous, I'm also bisexual. Generally, my ideal is I have a girlfriend and a boyfriend at any one point in time, or usually a girlfriend or a guy I'm dating who's probably going to disappoint me horribly. That's about, I'm kind of like you, Derek, is two is about my limit. I might chase a one night stand every once in a while if the situation and my mood catches me. But beyond that, I really don't.
And the thing is, like, for me, I'm in, I don't know, a V. Well, technically it's kind of like a Z, but for me it's a V and I'm kind of the hinge. And the problem is, when I look at trying to set up a triad or anything like that, it blows my mind.
Right.
I just could not understand how people make that work.
I don't either, because I've dated couples in the past, and I've always been kind of open to dating couples. And that gets sticky really, really quickly, because somebody's emotions gets involved and somebody gets hurt. So, but of course, in my situation, I usually end up dating a husband and wife, and one or the other.
Couple's privilege.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how do you deal with them teaming up on you?
Well, in the bedroom, I'm sure it's okay.
Well, in the bedroom is kind of nice. Outside of the bedroom, it's very much, and actually a lot of times, actually it's the other way around. It's usually they're looking to me to gang up on their partner.
So you're supposed to validate and justify them.
I'm supposed to be the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It's not a fun place to be in. And usually I'm going, I'm out, and step out.
Smart.
So I don't think I've actually had any of those last more than maybe 2 months. And it's usually about the time that they start trying to use me as leverage against the other one that I'm can't deal with it anymore. Of course, you know, whenever the fact that you and I both date George and have all that kind of makes things interesting as well, because George has opinions.
Lots of them.
Lots of them on every subject.
And deeply held.
Yes.
I think that's part of the reason people listen.
Yes. And she does have many, many opinions about the men I date. She's infuriatingly right a lot of the time, but we don't tell her that.
But she approves mostly, right?
Mostly, yeah. And actually, it's the times that she disapproves that I generally take pause and have to look at everything. I'm going, okay, am I being crazy? Is she being crazy? Is he being crazy? Who's the crazy one here?
So you're flooded on NRE, which...
New relationship energy. Yes.
And you're flooded and completely blind
right.
to all of the things
And I will say that's one great thing about being in non-monogamous relationships, especially when you have someone in your life that's more stable.
Did you just call George more stable?
Have you seen some of the men I dated? Actually, yes, you have.
Yes.
So, yes. But having a more stable relationship, you know, who can actually see whenever I'm being stupid. So, which is quite often.
And she'll let you know every time.
I think we all fall for that. I've started using a term, orange flags.
Mm-hmm.
It's when somebody's a potential, or we've just started dating and we're talking about the potential for more. After the last person that I went on a date with, I've really gotten to a point where my orange flags are just red flags that are hiding behind potential.
Right.
So I'm going to start trusting those when I see them. Not kind of, people talk about green and yellow and red flags. The oranges are just, they're not yellow flags that you're not sure about. They're red flags that are hiding in disguise.
Right. And I have to say, with the previous guy I was dating, not the one I'm dating currently, but the previous one, there were a lot of those, and I was just being very, very blind to them.
Yeah. Well, we want to lie to ourselves.
Right.
You know, because we want this person, we want every relationship to work out. Nobody goes into a relationship going, "Wow, I really wish this would fail."
Right, right. Well, and it's also the rough thing of, as George has pointed out, I feed on other people's adorations at times.
Attention is sexy.
Yeah. when they find me sexy, and you know they're staring at me with adoration and giving me all that emotion, I'm going, and I'll just eat it all up.
See, I'm kind of like the odd man out here because I haven't been on the market in 5 years.
Right.
So, you know, you talk about meeting somebody in orange flags or this adoration, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I kind of remember that. But I'm like I said, I haven't been dating in 5 years.
Yeah. Well, and you're also in another really unusual situation in not only you're dating George, you're dating your girlfriend.
Yep.
Your girlfriend and George get along extremely well.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm dating George as well, and you and I get along really well, and I and your girlfriend get along really well. Yep. So it's very much turned into much more of a family unit and a lot more stable than a lot of...
There's no drama.
Yeah, there's drama.
That's where I want to be, and currently I've only got one girlfriend. And I've kind of taken myself off the market at the moment, just because I'm not interested. I'm not interested in dating somebody else. But ideally, you know, we would each have another partner. We would all get along, and everything would just be fantastic.
All right. So why would you want another partner?
I don't currently.
Okay.
Things change. I've been in really long monogamous relationships. Mm-hmm. And every one of them has died a horrible death. Not because I was catting around or I was secretly polyamorous or, you know, non-consensual, non-monogamy or anything like that. No, I was a good boy.
Actually, whenever a married man, the first question when they get a hold of me via any dating app, they go, "Yeah, I'm poly as well." And I'm going, "But does your wife know?"
Exactly.
That's always my first question. Does your wife know you're non-monogamous?
Well, and I had a potential pop up some months ago who, you know, we got to talking, and it turns out she's in a don't ask, don't tell relationship. And I immediately put the brakes on it.
Yeah, I'm like, the same way.
If I can't hear it from your, I think it was your fiance. If I can't hear it from your fiance that it's okay, nothing's going to happen.
Guys get shot. I'm one of those that if I am, like in the current guy I'm dating, I told him that she and I don't have to get along. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to do anything. But if this goes beyond two or three dates, she and I are going to meet.
Yeah.
And we are definitely going to meet before anything happens, like naked fun time.
Absolutely.
That was actually when George met my girlfriend. I wanted to make sure that they actually had a chance to meet and they could ask questions, even negotiate boundaries if they wanted to, but to at least be able to meet and say, yeah, we're all okay with this.
Right. I mean, even that happened because I was the one that insisted on meeting you first time we met. So,
and you were impressed.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know what the joke that's going around is. I'm dating George for you.
Yes.
So, so George and I date so you and I can spend time together.
Yep. Yep.
So another question is, and all three of us are pretty open about our relationship dynamics.
Right.
What reactions do you get when you tell someone who doesn't know?
So my girlfriend told her dad that I had another girlfriend. And her dad said, "So he's dating two women?" She said, "Yes." He goes, then he said, "So he's dating two women?" And she said, "Yeah." And then he said, "Oh, wait, he's dating two women." And you could see that transition happening, right? Like that realization of what that means.
Right.
So for me, I guess I'm the outlier on this one. I can't be open. I've got some things going on. I did the toxic masculinity episode. So if people remember, I work in a very male dominated field. So if I were to come out and be open about, yeah, I've got, you know, 15 girlfriends or whatever, it'd be a big pat on the back, but it'd be dishonest because it'd be fine if I came out. But the flip side of that is that my girlfriend can certainly have as many boyfriends as she wants. And that would have a very negative response for me. Mm-hmm.
I have to say that it's ran pretty much the gambit of responses. I've got the pat on the back going, oh yeah, go for it, with them not realizing what the actual reality of dating more than one person is.
It's difficult.
Yeah. No, it is. It's when you're dealing with, you know, in a monogamous relationship, it is, can be simpler, quote unquote, just simply because you're dealing with one other person's emotional state. But when you're dating multiple people, you have to worry about each of their emotional states. And you also have to worry about, to a certain extent, how they react to each other.
Yeah, the complications are exponential, not incremental. Right.
But I've also had the extra little curveball of being bisexual, there's also the question of, you know, am I just being quote unquote greedy, which is... Well, one of the worst things
internet tells us you are just being greedy.
Right.
And everyone is prey.
Yep.
And everyone is prey.
But
exactly.
You also get to be invisible.
Right. We're not supposed to actually exist, but we're supposed to be that mythical creature out there that just hunts everyone. Right.
And you're just one step away from either being heterosexual or homosexual.
Right, right, right. No, right. No. I'm just a either a heterosexual or a gay male that is in disguise. And I'm just, it's a phase.
Yep.
That is, I'm in my 40s now and I still hear, oh, it's this must be a phase you're going through.
Right. You'll
well, I've been going through this phase for about 28 years now.
You just haven't had the right genitalia.
Right. The right person hasn't come along to nail me down. So, but I've also gotten extremely strong negative reactions. You know, I've been called a predator before. Borderline pedophile, which I'm kind of like going,
where did that come from?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
This particular woman was in her 50s and just, she was overhearing things, a conversation she wasn't even involved in. But yeah, she called me a pedophile. And I'm going, do you even know what that word means?
That drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Right. Well, of course, we're not exactly in the most liberal part of the country.
No.
I would say we're close to probably some of the most conservative country.
It's pretty straight-laced right around here.
Being in Oklahoma like we are, I mean, we do have to deal with those ultra-conservative perceptions. But I find that for the most part, 9 times out of 10, even if they don't understand, they're just kind of like shrug and move on anymore.
It's gotten better.
It has gotten better.
Yeah.
I've gotten some weird questions out of it.
Like what?
One of the ones that cracks me up the most is... whatever I tell them about George and, you know, everything else is going, so do you and Derek? And they're making, you know, hand gestures. I'm going, no, Derek has his own girlfriend. He's not interested in me. I'm not really interested in him. We just like go play with machines and tools and paint.
It's not a requirement. You don't have to sleep with everybody in the room.
Right, right. Just being poly, and especially being poly and bi, does not mean I am a over-sex monster. It just means I like men, I like women, and I need more than one person in my life. Actually, seems to be the good number is 2.
The biggest kickback I see everywhere about poly is that it's all about going out and having sex. That's a component of consensual non-monogamy. It's a component of cheating, too.
Right. Yeah.
But,
you know, if we had as much sex
I
as
wish
they
I
think
had as much
we
sex
do?
As they think I had.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right. Actually, I'd be exhausted.
No, I don't. I'd be dead.
Right, right. Well, and that's a large portion of it. I'm going, yes, sex is a part of my relationships, but honestly, for the most part, I don't even view it as a huge part of my relationships.
My relationships have a common qualifier. If we can't do something after sex... we're not having sex.
Right. If I cannot have a conversation with you, you're not a relationship. You're
a fling.
Yeah, a fling, random random strange as we, you know.
Random strange.
So, I mean, being poly is about the relationships, not having sex.
It is not swinging.
No, it is not.
There's a lot of overlap.
Get your pineapples out of my pool.
And I mean, and technically swinging is a part of non-monogamy, but it is a different flavor of than what we're talking about.
It's absolutely non-monogamy, and it's absolutely okay. You know, if swinging is your thing, swing. By all means, swing as much as you can. Get as much as you possibly can.
Right. But that's not
us. Don't come into the poly groups as a swinger, you know, unless you're looking for a relationship, because that's what poly's all about. There's swinger groups online. You can go to all kinds of swingers. There's more swinger groups than there are poly groups.
Yep.
Don't come hunting
right
in the poly groups.
Boils down to is there's different types of poly. Everybody's got a different
and
experience.
Every kind of poly is okay.
Right.
Maybe.
Mostly.
Mostly. I'll go with mostly.
Mostly.
If it's
mostly
consensual and it works, it's two adults or more.
And in the tradition of the girls, I think it's time to go grab something to eat.
Hey.
Comments, questions, knock-knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The end.